Today's daf is daf Tesvav, and we were still on the very bottom of Yudalim and Beis. The Mishnah taught on Yudalim and Aleph that if somebody slaughters on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, even though Mischayev benafsho, even though through slaughtering on Shabbos and Yom Kippur he deserves death, nevertheless, the Shechita is good. So the Gemara had said that Rav Huna taught in the name of Chiya Bar Rav, who had said in the name of his father Rav, that yes, the Shechita is good, but that day it can't be eaten. It can't be eaten on Shabbos, it can't be eaten on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara is trying to, but afterwards it'll be edible, it'll be kosher. The Gemara is trying to understand why can't you eat it that day. So the Gemara proposes, this is the view of Rabbi Yehuda, and it's based on the issues of Muktza. And on that day, what was slaughtered on Shabbos, what was slaughtered on Yom Tov, is on Yom Kippur, is Muktza. So Gemara is trying to understand, why is it Muktza? So it goes through a whole bunch of proposals based on Hachana. Finally, the Gemara says, now in Yudalim and Beis, Rather, Rav Sheshes, the son of Rav Idi, said, we are five lines from the bottom, Rav Yehuda de Nerosi. Where would Rav Yehuda say that the animal stays Muktza? It's based on what Rav Yehuda said in regards to candelabras, in regards to lamps. The time we're going to brise the mitzvah in Ner Chadash Avalo Yashan Div Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says you can carry a new lamp on Shabbos. You can't carry an old lamp because an old lamp is dirty. Since it was dirty, it was Muktza. It was put out of mind. Because it's dirty, you thought you weren't going to use it as Shabbos began, you can't carry it. So that's what's going on here too. An animal, even if it's slaughtered on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, so the slaughtering was a good slaughtering, but the animal stays Muktza. It was out of mind before Shabbos, it's still Muktza. The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe the Rabbi Yehuda says it's Muktza, because we're talking about something being out of mind, because it's dirty. Yeah. It's disgusting. Have we ever heard that Rabbi Yehuda says that something which is out of mind because there's a prohibition involved in the usage of it, there's an isser, that's what makes it stayed out of mind. Let's say you have a phone. So a phone before Shabbos, as Shabbos is entering, you're thinking not to use it because there's a prohibition in using it. So even if, I don't know, the phone dies and now you can't use it anyway on Shabbos, you still can't move it because it was Muktza Machmas Isser. Where do you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds of Muktza Machmas Isser? So Gemara says, oh, we know that too. So here it's Muktza Machmas Isser. As Shabbos is entering, it's a live animal. It's also to eat from it. It's Avram and Achai. You can't eat from a living animal. So it's Muktza Machmas Isser. And we know that Rabbi Yehuda... What's that? Not necessarily, but that's a good point. But of course, we actually have a proof that Rabbi Yehuda says Muktza Machmas Isser too.
Rabbi, this is specific for that item or the category?
He believes in this category. It's not because we looked in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, now turning to today's daf, Kol Neiro Shel Mateches, all lamps of metal, Mitzalten, you're allowed to carry them on Shabbos, because even though they've been used to light, they're not disgusting. Except for a metal lamp that had been lit as Shabbos began. Why? Because if it was lit as Shabbos began, it's Muktza Machmas Isser. The beginning of Shabbos, you can't turn out this light because of kibbuy. So you couldn't move it around because that might turn it off. So therefore, since it was Muktza at the beginning, even though it went out already, it stays Muktza and prohibited. So you see the view, the holds of Muktza Machmas Isser in regards to a flame. So you'll hold of it in regards to an animal. So that's what's going on here. This animal that's slaughtered on Shabbos, before Shabbos, as Shabbos was beginning, it was Muktza. It was out of mind because there's a prohibition. It's Avram and Achai to eat from it. So since it was pushed out of mind, it stays Muktza. Therefore, even though the slaughtering was a good slaughtering, you can't eat from the animal because the animal is Muktza. Gemara says, but there's a difference. If somebody lights a candle on Friday, and then as Friday night starts, there's a candle burning in a lamp, You did an act to push it aside from being usable on Shabbos. You did an act to put it out of mind, because the act of lighting the candle makes it now that there's a prohibition of extinguishing the candle. So the act of lighting was an act of putting it out of mind. Whereas when you deal with the living animal, so yes, when the animal is alive, there's an isser. But you don't do something to make that isser. There is an isser. You didn't do something to push it out of mind. There's a prohibition of Avram and Achai of eating from it. But there is no act. Maybe the only time Rabbi Yehuda holds of Muktzah Machmas Isser is when there is an action of pushing it out of mind. But when there's no action of pushing it out of mind, maybe Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Muktzah Machmas Isser. So how do we know in our Mishnah that the animal that was slaughtered on Shabbos is still muktzah?
So it stays right there. You cannot even move the animal from, you know, one room to the other room or something.
If it's muktzah, you couldn't move it. No, it's muktzah. That's it. Hello, I'm a Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi said, when Rav said that it's true that the shechita was good that was done on Shabbos, but you can't eat from the meat this Shabbos, it's not based on the issues of muktzah at all. What's it based on? It's based on the issue that was brought up, I think, by Fred yesterday, the issue of Ma'aseh Shabbos. We have a rule that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, and if somebody cooks on Shabbos, because he cooked on Shabbos, the food is not allowed. Because the food was created through a prohibition, the food is not allowed. That's called Ma'aseh Shabbos. He's desecrating Shabbos. That's what's going on here. What's going on here is the issues of Ma'aseh Shabbos, not the issues of Muktzah. That's what Fred said. Why is slaughtering any different than cooking? So the Gemara is going to ultimately say, it's not different. And that's really what's going on here. What's going on here is not an issue of Muktzah. What's going on is that the guy who violated Shabbos to slaughter, so there was a violation of Shabbos. He made the meat edible through violating Shabbos. That's like making the meat edible by cooking it on Shabbos. Therefore, it's prohibited that day because of Ma'aseh Shabbos.
Cooking is not prohibited. It's not prohibited even after Shabbos.
We'll see. No, the animal is going to be allowed after Shabbos.
Yes, but the cooking, if you cook food on Shabbos, you can't eat it on Monday, Tuesday.
So we'll see that that's a big argument. We're going to see the three different opinions.
But shechting is allowed to shech the animal on Shabbos, no?
No.
But what are you saying then, Rabbi? It's very mixed up here for me.
Saying just like you're not allowed to slaughter on Shabbos, okay. And if he did slaughter, he violated Shabbos.
Okay.
So it's like somebody who cooks on Shabbos. So he's violating Shabbos, and therefore the produce of his act is going to be disallowed. It will be prohibited this Shabbos. Later it's going to be allowed. We'll see why. So Ela Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi said, this is not the issues of muktzah. Rav Yehuda de Mevashalhi, this is the issues of cooking on Shabbos. We have three opinions. They all sort of shift what the other one says. It's not written in a Mishnah. Ha-Mevashal b'Shabbos. If a person cooks on Shabbos, it's the Mishnah in Shumos. So b'Shogeg, if he did it by mistake, not realizing that the day is Shabbos, Yochal. So then he can eat from the food later. He can eat from the food right away. According to this opinion, you can eat from it right away. However, b'mezid, if he knew it was Shabbos, and he deliberately violated Shabbos, and deliberately he cooked on Shabbos, lo yochal, he's not allowed to eat from the food on Shabbos. When Shabbos ends, he has to wait the amount of time it would take to cook the food, and only after that amount of time he could eat. So it shouldn't be that he in any way benefited from having cooked on Shabbos. But once he waited the amount of time it would take to cook the food, so now already he can eat from it. Okay, Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the view of Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, Bishogeg, if he didn't know it was Shabbos when he was cooking the food, and now he realizes that it's Shabbos, once the food is already cooked, he can eat right away on Shabbos. If it was b'mezid, if he deliberately violated Shabbos, according to Rabbi Meir, then after Shabbos he needs to wait the amount of time to do the food again, and then he can eat. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, "B'shogeg yochel motzoi Shabbos." If he was a mistake in his cooking on Shabbos, then b'shogeg. If it was a mistake, then after Shabbos he can eat from it after he waits the amount of time to cook it, both him or others. However, b'mezid, if he cooked deliberately on Shabbos, lo yochal olamis. He is never allowed to eat from it because he deliberately violated Shabbos. And others could eat from it after Shabbos once they would wait the amount of time to cook it. Rabbi Yochanan Sadler Omer, Rabbi Yochanan Sadler says, B'shogeg, if he cooked it on Shabbos by mistake, then Yachal Motzoi Shabbos Lachem V'lo Lo. Then others could eat it after Shabbos, once they waited the amount of time it would take to cook it. But he could never eat it. B'meizid, it if he cooked it on purpose, Lo Yachal Olamis, can't be eaten forever, Lo Lo V'lo Lacherim, not him and not others. So now the Gemara is saying, that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if an animal is slaughtered on Shabbos, it's a good slaughtering. Rav Yehuda, Rav Chia said in the name of Rav, even though it's a good slaughtering, that day itself, Shabbos itself, it can't be eaten. So why can't it be eaten? So we proposed, maybe it can't be eaten because it's so muktzah. He said, no, it's not really muktzah. You didn't do something to push it aside to make it muktzah. It's not necessarily muktzah. So why can't it be eaten that Shabbos today? The answer is because it's following Rav Yehuda in regards to cooking on Shabbos. What does Rav Yehuda say in regards to cooking on Shabbos? Rav Yehuda says, if you cook on Shabbos by mistake, it can be eaten to all only after Shabbos. But Shabbos itself, it can't be eaten. So, if that's the view of Rav Yehuda, that's what's going on here. The guy had made a mistake. He had forgotten that the day was Shabbos. He had shefted, forgetting that the day is Shabbos. That's why it can be eaten to all after Shabbos, but on Shabbos itself, it can't be eaten.
How do we paskin?
One second. We'll get to... We do paskin that way, right? We paskin... We paskin like this. If somebody cooks on Shabbos on purpose, he himself can never eat it forever. Others can eat it on Motzoi Shabbos. And if he cooks on Shabbos by mistake, then both he and others can't eat it on Shabbos, and Motzoi Shabbos all can eat it after they wait.
So Rabbi, let's say you make a cholent and you put them on the warmer. Okay. Now, when it comes to eat, let's say something is missing. Tomato is missing.
Okay.
Can you add tomato to this? You cannot.
No.
But salt and pepper you allow.
Correct. Because salt and pepper were already cooked. Whereas a tomato is cooking. You're cooking the tomato.
So you cannot add any more thing to be cooked in there.
Correct. There are even those who are worried about having on the same plate salad and chalent. Because they say the salad is raw. The chalent, if it's thick, could be very hot. Maybe it could cook. Most people don't think such a problem because by the time the chalent gets to the plate, it's not so hot. It can't be cooking anymore. Some are worried about that.
What if it's cooked vegetable and you put it in the
tomato? That's okay. There's no cooking after cooking.
But the tomato doesn't need to be cooked.
It doesn't matter, but since a raw item can get cooked, it's cooking.
You can add a cooked item to the tomato?
Yeah, ein bishel achar bishel.
But it's liquid?
Not a liquid item, a solid. Yeah.
The Bichdeshi Yasu is not lehalacha. The Bichdeshi Yasu is Rashi explaining it. Rashi has an opinion that he applies it to all
menachot. Right.
Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply. It's a Mokasim HaKrabi Yehuda, and he says, because it's after Shabbat, if it's Bishogeg, after Shabbat,
Interesting. He doesn't say Bichdesh Yasi. Okay, Rashi though says Bichdesh Yasi. Thank you.
Because he's also a Pasim HaKrabi Yehuda, but in Muxi, a Pasim HaKrabi Shimon.
Correct.
So it's a kind of combination of both.
Interesting. So now the Gemara says, so why do you say it's Rabbi Yehuda, V'nukma b'meizid Rabbi Meir? Why don't you say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir? Because as we know, Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, a Mishnah without an attribution is usually Rabbi Meir. Let's say it's Rabbi Meir. What did Rabbi Meir say? That if it was done b'meizid on Shabbos, the cooking, then you can only eat it after Shabbos. So it's Rabbi Meir. So Gemara says, Lo sakotach, if you can't think it's Rabbi Meir. It's funny because the Mishnah speaks about Shabbos, doing Yom Kippur like Yom Kippur. So my Yom Kippur, just like on Yom Kippur, if somebody slaughters, lo shna shogig v'lo shna b'mezid lo achil, whether it's done b'shogig or b'mezid, it can't be eaten. Afachi, so the Mishnah's point is also, lo shna shogig v'lo shna b'mezid lo achil, that even if it's done b'shogig on Shabbos, it can't be eaten. So it must be it's shogig and it's Reb Yehuda. So Gemara asks, so mi matzis mukmas lo b'shogig pir Reb Yehuda? But how can you say that it's shogeg? And that's why it can't be eaten, because according to Yehuda, if somebody b'shogeg cooks on Shabbos, it can't be eaten that Shabbos. But the Mishnah says, even though the guy slaughtering deserves death, nevertheless, the slaughtering is kosher. And second, if it was b'shogeg, he doesn't deserve death. Answer the Gemara. Mishnah is saying, even though that were he to do this b'mezid, he would be deserving of death. Now that he did it b'shogeg, it can be eaten today, it can be eaten tonight, and it can't be eaten right now. Why don't you say, why don't we say the Mishnah is the third opinion, Rabbi Yochanan HaSadler. He says both b'shogeg and b'mezid, it cannot be eaten. B'mezid, it could never be eaten by anyone. B'shogeg, it can only be eaten that night. So Gemara says to others. So my answer is Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, kamiflik b'motzoi Shabbos lachem v'lo lo. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says that if you cook on Shabbos by mistake, after Shabbos, others can eat it, but not the cooker. So Tana didan, but our Tana shkita sok sherek tani. He said that the slaughtering on Shabbos is a good act of slaughtering. And we are adding what he means, though, it's a good act of slaughtering for after Shabbos, but on Shabbos it can't be eaten. But he's talking about for others. But he says if the slaughtering is good. So he says the slaughtering is good, that means loshna lo, the loshna lachir. That means it's good. It has to be good for him too. That's why it couldn't be Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, because he would say it's never good for the person himself. So that's the final conclusion of what the Mishnah is talking about. The final conclusion is that our Mishnah is talking about a person who forgot that the day is Shabbos, or forgot the day is Yom Kippur, and that's why he's slaughtering. And the reason why Rav said, the Mishnah says the Shechita is good, but Rav adds, it's not good for Shabbos, it's not good for Yom Kippur, is based on the laws not of Muktzah, but the laws of Masa Shabbos, of violating Shabbos. And basically what the Mishnah is saying is that since he did it by mistake, it cannot be eaten on Shabbos. After Shabbos, it could be eaten, like the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that on Shabbos, Maaseh Shabbos is prohibited to all. When it was done by Shogeg, and after Shabbos, it's going to be permitted. Okay, so that is the discussion of our Mishnah. So now a story. So Tani Tana, Kamei D'Rav, there was an expert in Mishnayos and Braisos who was saying over a Braisa in front of Rav. Now, what did he say? He said like this. The Braisa says, Hamavasho b'Shabbos b'Shogeg Yochal. Somebody cooks on Shabbos by mistake, forgetting that it's Shabbos, so it can be eaten. B'mezid lo Yochal. But if he deliberately violated Shabbos, it can't be eaten. Umashtikle Rav. Rav would silence him and say, shh, don't say it, don't say it. So my time of Mashtikli Rav, why was Rav silencing him? If it's because Rav holds halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, that even when it's cooked b'shogeg, it can't be eaten. V'tana, Tani Rabbi Meir, this Tana is saying what Rabbi Meir holds, that b'shogeg could be eaten on Shabbos. Only b'mezid, it couldn't be eaten on Shabbos. Mishum disvir like Rabbi Yehuda, because you agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Ma'adatani Rabbi Meir, mashtiklei, the one who's quoting a brisa like Rabbi Meir, you have to silence him. There's such a brisa, such an opinion. And furthermore, misavu like Rabbi Yehuda. Do you think that Rav even holds halachas like Rabbi Yehuda? Ha'amar Rav Chanan Bar Ami. Rav Chanan Bar Ami said, ki mori lu Rav l'talmidei, when Rav would teach his students, mori lu Rabbi Meir. He'd tell them, really, the halachas like Rabbi Meir. That if someone b'shogeg cooks on Shabbos, you can eat it right away. That's really the halacha. However, Chidosh Leib Pirka, but when he would interpret it, when he would teach the whole big crowd, when everyone would come for the Pirka, for the big shir, Darish Kribi Yehuda, he would tell them that the halacha is like Kribi Yehuda, because he didn't want the ignorant people to not respect Shabbos. The Shemami Aretz, they shouldn't think that if you make a mistake and you cook on Shabbos by mistake, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. So if you made a mistake and you cooked on Shabbos by mistake, you can't eat the food that Shabbos. You teach them like Kribi Yehuda, but really also like Kribi Meir. Rechitze, if you're going to tell me that's why he was silencing this Tana, this guy who's an expert in Braisos and Mishnayos, because Tana Bepirke, Tana Kamei, this Tana was during the big crowd, and when the big crowd had gathered, that's when he was saying, if you cook on Shabbos by mistake, you can eat it. So now for the big crowd, that's not the message you tell them. One second. When the big crowd is there, who are they going to listen to? They're going to listen to a Tana, they're going to listen to Rav. They're listening to Rav. They're not listening to the Tana. They're not listening to the guy who knows Mishnayos and Brises. They're listening to Rav. And Rav has next to him a translator, an Amora, a Maturkaman, who's making all of his words very loud. That's the one they're listening to. They're not listening to the guy who's whispering under his breath. So why did Rav have to silence this man? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak explained. Tana Shochet Tana Kamei Rav. This Tana wasn't saying that if somebody cooks on Shabbos by mistake, the food is edible. He was saying if somebody slaughters on Shabbos by mistake, it could be eaten. And he was saying, HaShochet B'Shabbos. If somebody slaughters on Shabbos, B'Shogeg, forgetting that the day is Shabbos, Yochal, the food can be eaten. B'Mezid, but if he slaughtered on Shabbos on purpose, Lo Yochal, then it can't be eaten on Shabbos. V'Amar Leh, so Rav said to him, my Daita. So what are you thinking? Ki Rabbi Meir, you're thinking like Rabbi Meir, because we said in the Mishnah in Trumos, Rabbi Meir says, cooking on Shabbos by mistake, it could be eaten right away. Cooking on Shabbos on purpose, it can't be eaten until after Shabbos. But one second. Ad kan lo kashar Rabbi Meir l'bemavashel d'roi lachos. When does Rabbi Meir say that if something was cooked on Shabbos by mistake, it could be eaten right away? He's talking about cooking. Because when you cook, what do you have? You have something, you had raw meat. The raw meat you cook on Shabbos. Raw meat is also edible. There's some people who eat raw meat. The Gemara called it umtza. What do they call it? Tartar. People eat raw meat. So when you have raw meat, it's not muktza, because it was edible when it was raw. So now that it was cooked on Shabbos by mistake, Rabbi Meir says it could be eaten. But, shochet, but if somebody slaughters on Shabbos, what was it before it was slaughtered? It was an animal that was alive. An animal that's alive is muktza machmas iser, as we said. It's prohibited because it's eivah menachai to take from it. So shochet ein roi lachos. Before Shabbos, as Shabbos begins, it's not something that you could chew. It's muktza. So now that it's slaughtered, Rabbi Meir would hold it based on muktza, you can't eat it. And therefore, lo, even though it was slaughtered b'shogeg, you couldn't eat it based on muktza. So one second, Ramas Nisa and the shochet who? But our Mishnah is talking about a man who's slaughtering an animal. Ravuna said, Darash Kiya Barav and Shmei Rav, Kiya Barav said the name of Rav, and in the case of our Mishnah, Asura Bachil Yom, you can't eat it that day. And we went through a whole sugya saying that that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The reason why you can't eat it that day is because even though it was slaughtered b'shogeg, but there's a rule of Masa Shabbos, you can't eat it that day. One second. Rabbi Meir Shari, that's implying that according to Rabbi Meir, it could be eaten that day. One second, but you're just saying that according to Rabbi Meir, it couldn't be eaten that day because of muktzah. Answers the Gemara. Kishari Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir would allow it if it wouldn't be muktzah. How would it not be muktzah? Now starting test vavam and beis. Kagon shayel locholam ibod yom. With the person who slaughtered the animal by mistake on Shabbos had in his house someone who was deathly ill and in need of meat. So if he has someone in his house who's deathly ill, or someone who's deathly ill, you can violate Shabbos for his sake. So the animal was not muktza, because it wasn't that it couldn't be slaughtered. It wasn't edible. It could be edible. Because you knew that it could be slaughtered for this man. Yachi, one second. If it could be slaughtered for this man, my time would be Yehuda da'asar. So then why is there any problem, according to Yehuda, in eating the meat? The guy was allowed to slaughter the animal, because you're slaughtering an animal for someone who's deathly ill. So now you should be able to eat the meat too. So no, the Gemara says, go and try lachol of the hivri. At the beginning of Shabbos, he had someone in the house who was deathly ill. But by the time he slaughtered, that person had recovered. So he didn't have to do the slaughtering for that man. As this, Rav Acha bar Ada taught in the name of Rav. Some say it was Amr Yitzchak bar Ada, Amar Rav. Hashochet l'chola b'Shabbos. Asur l'bari. That Rav Yitzchak bar Ada said, if somebody slaughters on an animal for a sick person on Shabbos, the healthy person can't eat from it because the meat is muktzah. Meat is muktzah.
You can't taste it to see how the
let's see in a second. Hamavasha l'chole, but if somebody is cooking food for on Shabbos for a sick person, mutter l'bari, even the healthy person can eat from it. My time, or why? Because what he cooks is not muktzah. Hi, royal lakus. What he cooked could have been chewed. Hi, in a royal lakus. Rav Papa said, Pam, there are times, shashochit mutter. Sometimes if somebody slaughters an animal on Shabbos for someone who's sick, even healthy people can eat from the animal. Kagon shahayalo cholem yibod yom. Let's say the animal's not muktzah, because the sick person was sick when it was still Friday. So the animal wasn't muktzah. And then on the other end, there could be a mevasha, which is aser. There could be a cooking where the healthy person can't eat from it. Kagon shekatzatz lo dalas. For example, where on Shabbos it was a pumpkin attached to the ground. And then on Shabbos the guy gets sick. And on Shabbos the pumpkin is cut off and then cooked. So now the pumpkin is going to be muktzah, and healthy people can't eat from it, even though it was allowed to be cooked for the sick person. Rav Dimi Min Harda said the halacha. Hilchasa, the halacha is like this. Hashochet l'chol b'Shabbos, mutter l'bari b'umtzah. If you have a sick person in the house before Shabbos, and then on Shabbos you slaughter for the sick person, healthy people can also eat from that meat. They can't cook that meat, but they can eat that meat raw, tartar. My time or why? Came with the Yeshlukazai's Basabalo Shchitza, since the sick person can't get his kazayas of meat without it getting slaughtered. So therefore, Kika Shachit, when there is an act of slaughter, Adai to the Cholaka Shachit. That's being done for the person who's sick. And therefore, once it was done for him, so other people can benefit too, because it's one act of Shchitza for all, and there's no way to do it less. But if you have a sick person in the house and you cook for his sake on Shabbos, which you're allowed to do, also labari, healthy people are not allowed to eat from that food. Because when it comes to cooking, if we would allow the healthy people to eat, so the smart Jews would say, okay, instead of cooking one piece of meat for our sick man, we're going to cook five pieces of meat so everybody can have fresh meat. This Shabbos. So once they're adding to violations that they can't do. Therefore, when it comes to cooking, the healthy people cannot eat from it. Yeah, question? Okay, yeah, please.
No, just, for a chole, it doesn't matter, I think, if he's sick before. Again, this is Rashi's. Rashi has a very specific view. He goes with Muktzeh, that's why.
Amen.
If the chole wasn't sick before Shabbat, he's just sick on Shabbat.
Yeah.
There's no muktzeh with regard to the benhema for the chola.
For sure. No, for the chola, for sure. No, we're talking about other people.
Also for everybody else.
Why?
Because we're not passing like Rabbi.
Oh, good. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Very good. Right. We pass like Rabbi Shimon. That's right.
It's not like...
Yes, this Gemara is like Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rashi. Correct. Wonderful. Okay, next Mishnah. Hashochet b'magal yad. Somebody who slaughters with a hand sickle. So the hand sickle has two sides. One side is smooth and straight like a knife. The other side is jagged like a saw. So if you use the hand sickle or bitzor, he uses a sharp flint, or bikane, he uses a sharpened reed. Shchita asok shera. So if it was done, it's kosher. But lechatchila, you shouldn't use these items. Says the Mishnah, Hakol shochtin. Everybody's allowed to shecht. Everybody's allowed to shecht. Even a Jew who's a priest for Jews, for Jesus, he can also shecht. You just have to give him the knife. You give him the knife, and you can accept his shechita too. As long as you inspect it, right. I'm sorry, not a Jew who's Jesus. Anything but that. He's a Jew, eats non-kosher, as long as you give him the knife. Right, so that knife. Avodah Zarah or Chilul Shabbos in public, not. Right, okay. Hakol Shochtin. Everybody can shecht. Ula Olam Shochtin. And they can always shecht. As we said, by day, by night, as long as there are big lights up on. Uba kol shochtin, and you can shecht with everything. You can shecht with a flint. You can shecht with glass. You can shecht with a reed. Chutz mi magel katzir, except for the big sickle that's used to cut down a harvest. The hamagera, or a saw. Vashinayim, or to use teeth that are on the cheek of an animal. You can't use that to shecht. Vatziporen, or a fingernail. Mipnei shein chokin, because these things don't slit the pipes. They uproot the pipes. They do ikur, they pull out the pipe, and that's why they're not good for shechita. Okay, Gemara. Says the Gemara, there's a contradiction here in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hashochet b'magul yad, if somebody slaughters with a magul yad, or with a tzor, or with a reed, it's kosher. Sound like b'di'evedin, l'chatchila lo. But then the Mishnah goes on to say that bakol shochtin, sounds like you can shecht with everything. So Gemara says like this, Mishnah b'magul yad, I can understand with the hand sickle, why it's only b'di'eved, d'masi l'me'eved b'idach gisa, because maybe you're going to use the wrong side. The side that has saw-like pegs instead of the side that's smooth. Elatzor v'kana. But when it comes to a reed, when it comes to a flint, l'chatchila lo, is it really that only b'di'evet it's okay, but l'chatchila not? Or meaning, but I'll challenge you, we learned again in the Mishnah, bakol shochtin, you can check with everything. Bein b'tzor, whether it's a flint, bein b'schuchis, or with glass, bein b'krumashal kana, or with the edge of a reed. So it says explicitly that the edge of a reed is l'chatchila. The answer is lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan betalish, if the reed is detached from the ground, it's l'chatchila to use it. Kan b'mechuber, but if the reed is still attached to the ground, or if you're using something which is attached to the ground, let's say even the flint attached to the ground, it's only b'di'eved. Tam Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana said, ha'shochet b'mechuber l'karka, if somebody slaughters with something still attached to the ground, Rebbe posel. Rebbe says it's not kosher. Rebbe Chia machshir, and Rebbe Chia says it is kosher. So it's Rebbe Chia, but it's only b'di'eved. Ad kan lo machshir Rebbe Chia. When does Rebbe Chia allow you to? When they say it's a kosher shechita when something's attached to the ground, elo b'di'eved. If it was done, it's kosher. Avol chatchila lo, but chatchila he wouldn't allow it. Says the Gemara, b'mayu kimta. How'd you explain the beginning of the Mishnah? Ki Rebbe Chia. And the Mishnah's Rebbe Chia, who b'di'eved, and it's saying b'di'eved you could use a reed, b'di'eved you could use a flint, as long as it is attached to the ground, b'di'eved you could use it. Hello, the time of this one, b'raisa bakol shochtin, you can shecht with everything, bein b'talush, bein b'mechuber, whether it's detached, whether it's attached, bein shasakin l'mala, v'atzavar bein l'mata, whether the knife is on top and the animal neck is below. When the knife is below, the neck of the animal is on top. So Mani, so who is that? Lo Rabbi Chia. Lo Rabbi, lo Rabbi Chia. It's not Rabbi nor Rabbi Chia. Because here Rabbi Chia, if it's Rabbi Chia, d'yevet in, he only allows you to do it b'di'evet if it's mechuber. L'chatchila lo. L'chatchila, he says you can't use something attached. Be Rabbi, if it's Rabbi, d'yevet nami lo. He said even b'di'evet you can't do it. So Mani says, lo lo Rabbi Chia. Really it's Rabbi Chia. And even l'chatchila. And this that they're arguing about a b'di'eved. Lo diacha kochol the Rebbe to tell you how far Rebbe goes. That Rebbe who says it's no good even b'di'eved. Ve'lo masnisin. So now the Gemara says. Now the Mishnah, the Ketani Hashochet, the Evid in l'chatchila lo. The Mishnah it says that if somebody shechts b'di'eved yes, but l'chatchila not. Mani, who's that? Lo Rabbi v'lo Rabbi Chia. That's neither Rabbi nor Rabbi Chia. E Rabbi Chia, because Rabbi Chia, you're saying afilu l'chatchila, even l'chatchila allows it. Vi Rabbi, and if it's Rabbi, afilu b'di'eved nami lo. Even b'di'eved, you can't do it. Yolam Rabbi Chia, it's only Rabbi Chia. Afilu l'chatchila. And really, even l'chatchila, you're allowed to shecht with it. U'masiz n'ketani ha'shochet. The Mishnah said it. If you shecht it, it's okay. That's Rabbi. That's only the view of Rabbi. 1 second, Kashi the Rabbi or the Rabbi. So now there's a contradiction what Rabbi is saying. Does Rabbi say that b'di'eved it's possible? Does Rabbi say b'di'eved it's kosher? So the answer is like this. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kad in the Brisa, Rabbi says that if it's attached, it's possible, b'di'eved. The mechuber meikaro, something which is attached and has never been detached. Kan the Mishnah, where we're saying that according to Rebbe, it is okay b'di'eved, b'talush, the rock or the reed was detached. Ulevasov chibro, then it was reattached. Once it was reattached, it's not really attached. It's still really detached, and that's what b'di'eved, it works. So minatemra, and how do I know to tell you, the shanilan, that there's a difference for us? Be'mechuber li'ikaro, between something which is attached, and it's always been attached, l'talush ulevasov chibro, to detach and then reattached, the tiny, because we learned in a brisa. Hashochei b'muchni, if somebody slaughters with a wheel that has a knife on it, shchitas okshei, the shchitas okay. B'muchubula kartakar, if he uses something attached to the ground, again, shchitas okshei, the shchitas okay. Not sakin b'kotel v'shachatba, if he puts the knife into the wall, and then he puts the animal across the knife, shchitas okshei, the shchitas okay. Hayatzar yotzim in akotel, but if there is a stone coming out of a wall, okana ola me'elav, or a reed coming out of the ground, v'shachat ban, you slaughter with that which is still attached, shchitas opsul, it's not okay, the shchitas no good. Kashin adadi, it's a contradiction. Elalav, so what do you have to say? Shmamino, you have to say what you hear from here. Shani be mechuber me'ikar, letolish levasov chibro. The difference is, if the reed is still attached to the ground, it's the original attachment. So that's no good. But if you have a knife that's in a wall, it was detached, now put into something. If it was detached and put into something, that is okay b'di'eved. Shnamina, that's the proof, and that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. That's the view of our Mishnah.